This is News and Notes, and I'm Farai Chidea. So a professional athlete's body can take a lot of abuse, but one of the most fragile parts is encased in bone. It seems safe, but it really is delicate, and we are talking about the brain. NPR's Tony Cox joins me now with more. Tony.
You are so right, Farai. Every dunk on the court or tackle on the field is the result of a complex series of orders sent to the body by the brain. But the brain cannot take the same punishment a calf or shoulder can, and when it does, all sorts of things can happen, including a concussion. Dr. Tony Strickland is a neuropsychologist and the director of the Sports Concussion Institute here in Los Angeles. He is also an associate clinical professor of neurology at UCLA School of Medicine. He says athletes of high-velocity sports suffer concussions far more often than you might expect. He joins me now in studio. Dr. Strickland, nice to have you.
Thank you.
Also, we are joined by Lee Steinberg, who is a sports agent and an official sports spokesperson for the Sports Concussion Institute. He runs Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, and he represented quarterbacks Troy Aikman and Steve Young. Both of their careers were affected by concussions. Lee, it's nice to talk to you again as well.
Pleasure to join you.
Let's start with this, Dr. Strickland. Let's explain for the audience, in layman terms, what exactly a concussion is.
Well, concussion is a blow to the head or neck that transmits energy to the brain and alters the way a person thinks, feels, and behaves.
So how much of a problem is this when it happens, and how often does it happen to athletes?
It's a significant problem. It is a far bigger problem than we initially realized, in the sense that we just revised the data. It used to be thought that there were 300,000 sports-related concussions per year. However, that criteria used loss of consciousness in that definition. However, with taking that out, because loss of consciousness is not necessary for concussion, we now believe that the true prevalence is between 1.6 and 3.8 million concussions per year.
Before I bring Lee in, one more thing for you, Dr. Strickland. Does anybody die from this? Can a concussion kill you? Has anyone died as a result of a concussion that they got during a game?
Well, the answer to that is unfortunately yes. And the risk for that, the so-called second impact syndrome, where you have a concussion and before it resolves you have another one, is of a greater risk for younger populations, individuals age 18 or younger.
Lee Steinberg, let's talk about you, because you represented Troy Aikman and Steve Young, both big-time NFL quarterbacks, both of whom were impacted by concussion. And I know from conversations that you and I have had in the past over stories about this, that there was some difficulty you had convincing them about continuing or not continuing their careers because of the risks that were involved, right?
One of the difficulties in this area is that athletes grow up believing that they're impervious to the long-term implications from any physical injury. They're in a state of denial. And so very often concussions are not diagnosed. It's not like having a cast on your leg. It's all subjective. And there are some estimates that 85% of concussions are not even diagnosed. So this is a ticking time bomb. It's a health epidemic, because what Dr. Strickland would tell you an athlete should do if he suffers a concussion is go to bed after it. Instead, they go out, they practice. Very often, the first concussion is not diagnosed, and then they have a six times higher chance of getting a second concussion on the field of play. Two of them together is like a neurological perfect storm, and the consequences are devastating. Short term. Long term, what we're seeing from some of the studies that the Sports Concussion Institute reported at this big convocation we held, is that someone who has three or more concussions has a five times higher rate of early onset Alzheimer's, much higher rate of Parkinson's, premature senility, very bad rates of depression. So the consequences, it's a ticking time bomb, not simply today and what happens in the short term, but what happens in the long term.
But these athletes, Dr. Strickland, they know this. They know this, and yet they seem to decide that the risk is worth taking.
Well, yes, and it's because of what we characterize as the culture of competition. Individuals are taught from a young age to, regardless of, if you get an injury, you shake it off, you move on. However, Unlike a rotator cuff injury or a knee injury, concussion is a stealth injury. It's not readily identifiable. The signs and symptoms of concussion are poorly recognized and poorly understood. So a part of what needs to happen is we need to ratchet up the level of awareness of concussion to that of any other sports-related injury.
Going back, Lee Steinberg, to the examples of Troy Aikman and Steve Young, were you able to convince them, did you need to convince them to end their careers to save themselves, I guess would be the best way to put it?
Well, it was very difficult in those cases is that the state of knowledge about the brain, it was the last frontier. And many of the tests which would show damage were very rudimentary. Now Dr. Strickland has more sophisticated tests. They have baseline testing. They have balance testing. They have ways of establishing a concussion that weren't known then. But part of the difficulty is we are dealing with the very essence of what separates being human from being a rock or an inanimate object, and that is consciousness. Now, it's one thing to understand that someone will have aches and pains when they turn 40 from playing a collision sport, and when they bend over to pick up their child, they may have a few physical problems. It's another thing not to be able to identify that child. We're talking about consciousness, and one of the difficulties is that contemporary athletes are bigger, stronger, faster, so the simple physics of the hit have changed. You have more rapid bodies moving through space, hitting stationary objects, and the actual force of the whole concussive event is much stronger.
We have about a little more than a minute or so left, Dr. Strickland. I want to ask you two things. First, about the children. We made the point that guys like Troy Aikman and Steve Young and Warren Moon and others, these are adults, mm-hmm. and they can make their own choices, mm-hmm. and they can take risks if they choose. Mm-hmm. A lot of these concussions are occurring with people who are under the age mm-hmm. of 18 who are not able to make informed mm-hmm. decisions. Talk about the dangers that the young people are mm-hmm. going through. I know that I didn't give you a lot of time, but try to condense it.
Well, as Lee referenced, we have made significant advances in our ability to identify and define the nature and extent of a concussion. And because of the inherent nature of competition, we can now take that out of the arms of the athlete and objectify the presence or absence of a concussion. So I think it's very important that we baseline or get neuropsychological testing on athletes before the season begins, and that way we can objectify changes thereafter.
Gentlemen, I appreciate your coming in. Dr. Tony Strickland directs the Sports Concussion Institute here in Los Angeles. He joins me in our NPR West studios. Also, Lee Steinberg, a super sports agent and an official spokesperson for the Sports Concussion Institute. He runs the Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment. He represented, as we've already said, quarterbacks Troy Aikman and Steve Young. Both of their careers were affected by concussions. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in. It was a very important conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you kindly.